Welcome to the Iron Podcast. Thanks for joining us for this little episode. I'm here with my brother Sparks. Sparks, how are you?
Super good, thank you. And yourself? How does today find you?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a cold, which is why I sound a bit like this. So I'm going to try, if I can, and go easy on the heavy mouth breathing throughout the episode.
Less than usual.
That's not the subject of the episode. It's not mouth breathing. So I'll try and wind that in.
We have had a few questions on the podcast.
The power of mouth breathing.
Not so much about the power of mouth breathing, but what was up with your voice?
Oh, really?
So yes, wow. so that answers the question for anyone that's listening.
Just had one of those days. It is a bit of a cold.
Allergy.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's on its way out. I've got a little bit of a topic for us to discuss today: living our truth. I put that out a bit, that was what this podcast was about, and I really do feel it is. But I think maybe that's something worth just diving into a little bit to explain. So we had a look last week about energy vibration, because we've been speaking about that with some guests and what that looks like. And I think this week I'm really keen on focusing on living our truth. So you up for that one?
Yeah, go on then.
Right, we're in. So here's one to kick it off. This is a quote from Sadhguru, someone that I've always been interested in following a little bit, who simply put, "Find out what it is that you want to do beyond all compulsions and do just that." That was kind of a bit of life advice. I find that really, really interesting in terms of the truth is lying there deep down within us, and it's our job to uncover that truth and then express it. The other one was by someone called Howard Thurman, another quote which says, "Don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do that, because what the world needs is more people who have come alive." So kind of along the same lines, my first question would be to you then, what do you think makes you come alive?
For me personally, I think refined over time is human connection, and in whatever particular experience it happens to be, but sharing that with other human beings is kind of what excites me the most.
Yeah, kind of cool that we're doing a podcast then, really. It's because that's in that field, so
it's trying to. So part of obviously that we're not sat with other people,
no, exactly.
We're, we're being heard by other people, which is a connection as such, but I do feel that genuine same physical location, sharing a space with people and having that connection beyond just the physical or the emotional or anything like that, but actually just talking to people and interacting and having that shared experience is really what I find the most exciting.
And presumably there's going to be a truth to, like you said, that connection of what's being shared, because presumably there'll be things that when you're sharing, they don't feel like it's resonating with your truth, with your passion. And therefore, my next question is, what is it that really doesn't make you come alive?
Well, first up, I don't want you to suggest that my connection is for any nefarious reasons.
Like just pure manipulation.
It's the, the overarching, the villains, we come together, we make that plan, and that's kind of where we go with it.
Yeah.
I think too much of the opposite, as much as I enjoy time on my own, in as much as you can spend time with your own thoughts or getting yourself together, I think too long in isolation, I tend to struggle with, because I do really enjoy / crave the interaction with people, whether it's conversation or training, kicking a ball around, chatting, anything like that. I find that tends to get to me. And also I really notice negativity.
Okay.
I know that's quite a broad
umbrella term,
but if I can feel myself in an environment that feels kind of overtly negative, I get massive pushback.
Yeah.
Because I tend to be a bit of a sunny side out type of person with my outlook on life.
I think there's something about this though, that there's kind of two voices in there, one of which is a bit more of a clear truth, and the other one is like an old voice, which can actually come through like, oh, this is my likes and this is my dislikes. But some of those likes are actually just comforts, like compulsions almost. you could say my truth, it could be I quite like just sitting down and watching TV in the evening, but it's like, I'm not sure that's the truth. What's beneath that compulsion just to sit and just be entertained? You know, what's the deeper thing? So when you say about connecting with people, that hits for me. Connecting with people, connecting with myself, being more deeply honest, discovery, sharing, depth to that sharing, and ball sports to round it up with a bit of an odd one in there at the end, similar to what you mentioned.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue. Just loving ball sports.
Sharing with people and depth and then ball sports. But that seems to be a mechanism which isn't just, I quite like doing this. It's always been in there. When I sit, as you mentioned, if I'm on my own or whatever, I'll quickly gravitate towards that. Not because it resolves some kind of feeling of discomfort or it's like relieves some boredom, but because there's another voice within that's sort of just drawing you towards, this is where there is some discovery for you.
I think I got a couple of questions. One is, are you, when you talk about truth, are you equating that to what is your passion, or are you equating that to what you believe to be the nature of what
your purpose yeah. Almost. I think this is, for me, a little bit ties in with what isn't my truth, which when you mention negativity, for me, I struggle with strategizing. I struggle with people pleasing, which is quite close to the other part of the truth, which is connecting with people. But I struggle with people pleasing. I struggle with what feels a bit too surface or kind of based on this idea that there's a payback coming later down the line. For some reason, that really doesn't get me. I don't know whether that's...
Do you think this is why historically everything we've done has had a terrible business plan?
Yeah. It is. It's a bit too short term, isn't it?
But not so much short term, but I think I would say that I've noticed from the things we do, we tend to try and do things without necessarily playing the game, in inverted commas, or going down the accepted routes of things, that we like to think we can do things, carve a new way through doing it.
Yeah, maybe.
Almost to our own detriment at times. But I don't know whether or not that's driven by the fact that the need for sort of genuine conversation and genuine planning and doing things for an actual purpose other than just revenue stream.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's the strategizing part. I find it slightly more difficult to have that idea of the idea of too much of an outcome at the heart of everything and working towards a preconceived idea. I think truth has to be a little bit in reverence of the unknown. It has to have the unknown as part of it. I think truth is almost
more than a means to an end.
Yeah, it's a revelatory journey. I think living your truth is not getting something done, because at the end of that, it's almost like, right, that's my truth dealt with. What's my new truth? I think those are goals. But I think truth is underneath them.
And would you make the distinction between that and living, say, truthfully, as in living how you actually are, rather than playing roles in certain parts of your life in order to fit in and do things, but actually being yourself in as much of your life as possible?
Yeah, and hugely. I think it's so about...
You put a distinction between the two, or would you say that that's a key part of...
I think they're aligned, but I think you have to choose one over the other. You either put your truth at bay whilst you get your goals, or you connect to your truth and allow your goals to unfold. And I think putting your truth on the back burner, it just is the basis, I think, of a lot of suffering. And I think that full self-expression, and I think what was mentioned at the beginning about going beyond all your compulsions, I think that's a ridiculously intense journey. Because otherwise, I think your truth is constantly being diverted or refracted by these, or even just slightly diluted by these ideas that have been picked up along the way and are portraying themselves as truth. You know, I'm just not enough, as being that's a truth. But for me, the truth is obviously lower than that, to the you know, to be explored. And this is what I was sort of interested in this side of it being, I think the search for truth is, and potential, as we speak about it, is in who we are and not in what we can do. And I think the difficulty comes when you put down the tools and the search for who you are and you start exploring what you can do within the idea of who you've come to be. So you pick an identity and you become a certain individual, and then you explore what's possible within the framework of that idea, from within that idea. And then we talk about potential whilst living inside that idea, whereas I think potential is about all you can be. I don't think it's about what you can do within the boundaries of this. And I think accepting that, you know, this is who I am, this is it, this is that, this is that, this is that, you know, rather than getting the search back on for who you are, I think that's the most important part. I think that's real potential. It's in the being, it's not in the doing. And that the doing comes as an offshoot of exploring your being. That's what I feel, if that answers the question.
I think within that, you have to make the statement that exploration, or if you're interested in that and it's something that you want to pursue, you have to also factor in that you need to cover the basics, that you need somewhere to live. You will probably need some form of money coming from somewhere, and that everybody's going to be at a different place within that. So the degree to which you can pursue purely looking for what excites you and what your truth is going to be dependent on how much time you can afford to do that without putting yourself in the crosshairs of a pretty rubbish time. And likewise, if you've got family, you've got people that are dependent on you, you've also got to factor that in. So everybody's experience of that is going to be super, super different. But at the core of it, always believing that there's more out there for you has got to be sort of like one of the core tenets of it. But to the degree to which you can put everything else on the back burner and chase it will depend on your own personal situation a lot more.
Yeah, but I think that's the point also about your passion and that voice of passion versus that voice of comfort and likes. The difference between those two is really important. And following your highest passion in any moment is the key to living, I think, truth. And within any framework, I guess, yeah, this is not me saying it's possible, but just saying, putting it out there as a question, is it possible within any framework that you find yourself in life to follow your highest passion? Yeah, whatever it is that you're going through, it might be the highest passion might seem like, I talk about, if you're locked in a really sort of completely pitch black room, then, and you go to sort of try and escape through the window and a tiny sliver of light comes in. Now, following that sliver of light might be where all the excitement and passion is. It doesn't have to look like we mentioned at the beginning, living your truth. It doesn't mean you get to go around playing ball sports and having deep heart-to-heart conversations with absolutely everyone you meet and go, but it's almost like, okay, within this moment I'm living right now, what's my opportunity to bring me to it? How can I do it my way according to my highest passion? I think that's a big exploratory opportunity, because quite often the story gets their head and sort of says, this is how it's going to be. There is no space for passion. But I think naturally we can turn things into anything just by following that sliver of light, which can then expand to a bigger, kind of ray of light, beam of light, which can then suddenly the room is very lit up, and suddenly, you realize that there's an opportunity to follow your passion in a hell of a lot more spaces and ways than you realize at the beginning.
Yeah, I suppose that's comes down to your ability to recognize that. And also, like you said, kind of an awareness of what is it here? What is it in this that I'm doing now? What is it that's exciting me?
Yeah, and listening to that other voice. And that other voice, I think, comes through, I think it, for me, it's always come through a little bit more when there's been challenge and probably a need to sort of be humbled a little bit And it's always in vulnerability where I think more of it can sort of come through, because I think those sort of vulnerable moments are essentially offering holding a hand out to bring about a new search to who you are. I think if you don't experience much vulnerability, you're never going to step outside of that idea you've created of who you are. And as a result, potential will always sit within the boundaries of that idea. Whereas vulnerability, I think, creates that opportunity for shit, maybe I don't know. And for maybe I'm not all that. Maybe I'm just not who I am. Maybe these things aren't exactly what I think they are. Maybe thoughts and feelings aren't actually truths about the world I live in and who I am. Maybe actually there are things happening within me, not, you know, telling me what I am. And I think things like that are the opportunity to start exploring beyond those compulsions. And I think that's where the sudden realization of, you know, what's maybe more our reason for being here right now can come through. But I think quite often the message is in that vulnerability is to quickly come back to the idea, you know, to batten down the hatches, you know, fill the gaps in the wall around the outside, make sure that there isn't going to be any change, and, you know, just get rid of the problem, get rid of the challenge. But I think quite often that challenge is coming to sort of offer a bit more truth, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's probably fair to say that feeling the highs and the lows and the consequences of decisions is kind of what helps shape you in the direction of, you know, what you want to move towards, and to the same degree what it is that you want to move away from.
Yeah.
You know, making a decision, feeling the pinch that I didn't like that, that didn't feel good, does kind of inform you that the next time it comes to make a decision, you try and avoid doing that one again. You know, basic human learning.
And I think also having a part of the intention or the core of the intention that you're going to stick to. Otherwise take that road. Like you said, you get some contrast in your life in terms of what you want, what comes through. And then you think, oh, well, that wasn't it. So you go back that way, and then you get some that, and then you go back that way, and then that doesn't work out. So you go back that way. And by the end of it, you just haven't gone anywhere. I think having the core of an ambition and a goal is so important to, you know, as the other sort of phrase I've used before is that the path of greatest passion and excitement is often the one of greatest challenge and wisdom. But to follow that passion is to continue beyond challenge, yes, but not to necessarily to conquer it, just to let go of whatever's in the way of you getting through. It's almost like, Christ, there's the doorway. It's smaller than I am, but for me to get through, I've got to leave this backpack behind to get through and continue my journey. It's like, but that backpack's got all my, you know, material possessions. It's got my reputation in it. It's got my dream future in it. But I've got to make a decision whether I stay this side of that doorway and keep all my stuff, or whether I push on and drop it. And I think that for me is, you know, is a, I guess, a heck of a journey, but something's got to be driving you through. And I think living truth can sort of be that.
Yeah, there's got to be something strong enough to motivate you to put yourself in difficult positions where you know that it's going to feel uncomfortable, it's going to feel weird, it's going to feel sometimes wrong, sometimes super right. But just being open to those experiences is probably going to allow you a lot more breadth in your experience of life and stuff. I've been guilty of, I think I've spoken to you about this before, that I've got a real issue with speaking in front, you know, public speaking, which is like quite a common thing. But when we had the opportunity to, okay, right, if you want to play rugby at a high level, part of this is you are going out into schools, you're part of the community program. By pure fluke, I was man of the match one match. And that was, and then if you remember the Falcons situation, you were at the bottom floor, well, I had to be playing. So I was in the lottery, but you had to be on the ground floor of the big stand with all the fans, and it was an awesome situation. And obviously you had Doddy presenting it, who loved to make you feel uncomfortable. It's probably his skill.
He was very good. He was very good in front of people, wasn't he?
He was someone that was like dangerously comfortable in front of people. But that was a big, you know, I didn't think, I might be man of the match, I need to work on this. But it was, do you know, if I want X, then, you know, Y and Z may be well be part of that journey. So I have to accept that I'm going to have to overcome this in order to get in the direction that I wanted to go, along with other things. And I'm sure people can think of way better examples than that. But sometimes those are the things that you come up. And as we've spoken about before, I think if you don't face them first time around, that they will show their face at some point your life until you eventually do sort of confront it and get on with it.
Well, I think there's bigger challenges along the route as well. It's like you said, you really want to play the rugby. So you go through that and you go through that. But what happens when you really want to play the rugby, but you get to the end of a career and you've got to take that back off? You're also then not sure in terms of where do I even want my direction to go? And I think this is, again, that vulnerability that kicks in to sort of say, crikey, I thought that was my truth. But I think truth is something that, the deeper truth is something that outlasts you. I don't think people sort of go, I've lived my truth. That's me done now. I can just, I just sort of set up and live an untruth now for the rest of my life. I think truth will outlast you. And I think the stuff on the surface is almost truth's way of getting what it wants done via, you know, the structure we've got in place at the time. So when you're young, certainly for me, young, trying to prove myself, competition, comparison, you want to connect with people, but maybe the best way for you to do that is not to sit there and talk to them, because hell's teeth, when I was younger, that wouldn't end well for anyone. But actually, well, what if you go out and play with a ball? That could help you connect to people. Yeah, but I'm not talking to them. I'm not meeting them. Doesn't matter. That's truth's way of getting itself done. And so what I've got at that time is my excitement and my passion and just, well, crikey, I'm living my truth. But actually you then find out, well, that comes to its end. And it's like, what's my truth now? It's like, well, actually it was always underneath that. But now when you remove that structure, it's like it comes through a bit differently, maybe even a bit more fully, I think.
I think you're always adding to it. Like you'll say, even at the times where you think maybe the majority of the things you maybe now looking back think you didn't have them right, there's still things that you did have right that have stuck with you. And I think you're just constantly adding to that. So I don't think it's like for me, I wouldn't look at it as like a sudden epiphany and suddenly you've got all the answers and this is what I'm going to do.
Absolutely.
I think it's more of a subtle over time.
Just
you're
the next
creating
stage.
This nice little picture and you're adding bits, removing bits, adding, and it changes and it's fluid and it evolves as you do, because different phases of your life, different obligations, different things going on. But you always have that opportunity to kind of piece it together and guide it. You always have some control over it, no matter where you get to.
But that's why I think when you talk about evolution, I think that's really important. And to allow for that evolution, I think it can get more powerful over time with getting older versus the idea that, I lived it. I was so much more powerful and truthful when I was younger. And then you sort of finish your rugby career and you try and play on for 10 years, even though it doesn't feel right. And you try and do this because even though you're kind of like, I can feel I'm not living my truth because I'm just forcing it to be here. Because part of me says I'm not enough without this, so I'm just going to try and get back in. But evolving, I think, is part of that vulnerability and just sort of going, geez, I don't know. I thought this was everything and I don't know who I am without this. And I've got to step back outside of that identity and just patiently wait. And when opportunities come up, sort of go, all right, is there enough in me to take this? Like you said, how much do I need this for family? And if the answer is a lot, you're kind of like, okay, well, I've got to take it. And if you've got to take it within that, where's my opportunity and passion?
And I think that's one of the interesting differences between you and I was that for me, although it felt tough at the time, I had a lot of the bigger decisions made for me. I didn't have to decide to retire, because what happened was it got to the point where I wasn't offered a contract, but I was offered a job within the club. So it was like, okay, cool. I could still keep in here. I'm still there. I'm still with my friends and all the other stuff. But, you know, that part of the playing will have to go. You step back across the other side of the line. And then likewise, towards the end, you know, with the whole movement coming out of rugby completely, again, wasn't something that was completely under my control. So you end up in this situation where it's easier to feel bitter maybe when you haven't made that decision.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, it was probably easier than trying to make it myself.
And I think that's why I always think we speak about this a bit on the podcast. I think there's a collaborative, like I said at the beginning, with truth, is that I think there's guidance from everything around us towards truth. And there's also our involvement in truth too. When if you don't bring your intention and you're just purely on the outside, then nothing really happens. But if you're just so controlling because it's got to be your way, then that isn't the truth either. You're not sort of... So going on that collaborative journey, I think, is really important. But I completely agree with you. And coming back to the thing that I think I find difficult is probably the idea that truth has got to pay off. And the reason I talk about that kind of identity, that for me is something that's on my awareness dial a bit, you know, getting stuck in that logical, intellectual idea of living. Yeah, this is who I am, and therefore this is what I need to get, and this is how it's going to work out, and I'll do this and I'll get that, and this should work because of this and what have you. I think that for me is something I kind of resist a bit. It doesn't feel like that's so truthful for me. But what I find interesting about that is that a lot of the truth for me does feel like living a lot more in this moment, living right now, here and now. But the problem is with being stuck in that identity, which has got this beginning, this end, and this reason and this logical stuff behind it, is that everything around it needs to have a beginning and end and a logical reason. But how can you live in this present moment, which has got no beginning, no end, but simply is, if you're trying to exist in it as a structure that is all about beginning, end, payoffs, get this, get that? It's so living through the mind, which is a, you know, interesting way of looking at the identity. As soon as we kind of get lost in our identity, the mind will protect it. As soon as we think we're our identity, we truly believe that what we think we are is what we are, the mind will then start protecting it. So how can we try and live in this moment and feel free to fully express through the mind? And I think that's what I feel is an interesting opportunity for living truth. As another one of Sadhguru's ones was to say, you know, are we here just to think about life or to truly live it? So it brings me to this question for you. What do you think would happen if we opened up a universal, anyone can enter competition for who could make the most of this moment? What sort of things do you think people will get up to? If people went for a full-on, look, I'm living in the now, and it's already skewed because the very nature that you could judge such a competition is going to ruin it.
Well, but going to be my question was, are you living in the moment if you have to film it in order to enter the competition?
But my point being is that immediately the mind, what does that go to? If you said to people, right, let's all see who can live this moment to the fullest, what would everyone do? I reckon there'd be some pretty heavy debauchery, as well as all
maybe
kinds
of... some serious vocabulary you're throwing around there.
But I think there'd also be, you know, and it's interesting what maybe there's some of this is what we are doing, you know, a lot of death-defying rides and...
without a doubt, like extreme sports, extreme experiences is what a lot of people's mind will go to. And I think at the opposite end of the spectrum, you'll have people that will just go and think, sit with the people I care about most in my life, or other people will be, I'm going to sit and meditate and connect to whatever it is that I feel is a great connection. And that's the kind of what you got there is the human experience is ridiculously varied and a huge variety across the board. So I think if anything, it will probably give you a really good insight into where people feel kind of what they're navigating towards. Their answer would be quite revealing in terms of where it is and what their highest passions are. I quite like the conversation around the comparison of you go to a concert and you spend the whole time filming it on your phone to have a load of videos on your phone that you'll never watch again. versus put your phone away and actually listening to the concert experiencing it that you were there.
But have no one to tell about it, but not be able to tell anyone, anyone.
But that's the thing, is like all you can do is tell people you were there, but you have the experience. And that's not a bad analogy for life and living in the moment. Is living in the moment for me would be you're not worried about capturing it for later.
Yeah.
Because you know you've had it.
But
you don't need to tell anyone about it. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying that that's kind of maybe how my brain works sticks it into a format.
I think that's powerful though, because sometimes you hear people talk about how you really need to make some good memories for later in your life. And that's an interesting thought process. I think that was behind a lot of what I grew up thinking, that you need to make a good reputation for later in life. You need to fill up that CV sheet for later in life. But I think the revelatory journey of, you need to, you know, maybe keep exploring and find more of the connection and the presence that you talk about. The connection, I think that connection is between who we are and this moment are the same thing. And when we fall out of the identity of who we think we are into more of who we are, we find more of the moment. We become more aligned to what it is we're after. But the question about the making the most of the moment, I think is really interesting, because it doesn't matter what age you are, all you've ever got is this moment. And living that truth, I think, comes through in that I think desire to, or at least that intention to live more fully. The question would then be, if it really came to it though, and all you had was this moment, because I think when you think, oh, make the most of this moment, it's never this moment, it's the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 weeks. But what if it was simply right now, gone? You have that split second. There's nothing else to do but surrender.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do, and you can't plan it. All you can do is exactly what you can do.
You can't strategize to say, this will bring me some fun and that will be enough. I'll have made the most of that moment. The truth is, this is it, bang. Gone, surrender. And I think that's interesting, just as a concept, when it comes to, I'm not making the most of my moment. It's like, but if that's a really truthful investigation, then I think surrender's a lot behind it. Because by strategizing more, that we'll be able to make more of it when we've done this or whatever, is almost moving further away from it. But that truth for me seems to come through, I think, a bit more when there is some surrender and some collaboration with the universe and some, you know what, maybe I don't know, but also some trust and some devotion to the intention and the passion. And I think we, you know, talking about this in terms of preparing in performance, it's almost like you bring the intention, the presence, and the awareness, and that's great preparation. But when you bring the strategies and the control and all that kind of thing, yeah, that's important to have, you know, to have in there. But if you lead with that, if your preparation does your performance for you, I think that's a big miss. And I think when we allow what we've learned in life to start living for us, truth has got no place in it. When I say what we've learned in life, I kind of mean what we've kind of picked up along the route.
Yeah, I think there's only a certain amount that you can swim against the tide, as it's exhausting, and the rest of the time is you kind of, you know, if you keep fighting what life's telling you and what life's giving you, you're going to end up exhausted and pretty beaten down. Whereas if you can accept, start to flow with it a bit more, you probably feel a little bit more in line with everything and the energy that's coming through and what life's showing you, and you can kind of fit with it, roll with it, and ultimately find those things that make you more excited, more passionate.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I guess the question is that, who knows deep down what we're all coming to face and what it's all about? What have we got right now is, well, you've got your intention and you've got your thoughts and ideas coming up, and you've got a choice as to which ones you follow, which ones you want to buy into, and how you want to, you know, spend this time. But like you said, with trying to stay alive and look after those around you and do whatever. But I think, again, going back to that quote at the beginning, just, you know, the world needs more people who have come alive. I think that's really key. And I think coming alive is not the end result of the cycle that we find ourselves in from when we grow up. I don't think anyone's really come alive simply by just doing the same stuff over and over again and sort of not surrendering or at least opening up a bit.
No, I agree. And I think ultimately you need a collaboration between people with hugely different experiences to ultimately find the way ahead that benefits the most people possible.
Yeah, I agree.
To make quite a broad sweeping statement, trying to sound like I'm intelligent. No, I'm talking about that.
Well, I'll give it to Ramana Maharshi.
But you have been all over the books.
Yeah, I've done it. Who's an enlightened yogi of yesteryear, who said your own self-realization is the greatest service you can render to the world. And I think maybe when put in living your truth and fully expressing yourself and, you know, doing whatever it takes to, you know, to find more about who you are. And I think that's kind of maybe another way of putting it. So,
I think trying to be as awesome as you can and ultimately provide the most awesome version of you for the people that you spend most of your time with and that you care the most about, there's nothing that surpasses that in terms of lofty goals.
But I think, like you said, it's awesome according to your truth as opposed to someone else's truth.
Yeah.
And they're back to my bug of people pleasing. But all right, thanks, mate. Nice one. It's a pretty quick 35 minutes. Appreciate your time on this one. I'm going to close the book. It's done.
Yeah, I was going to say, you closing down the website of quotes to make me sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, God.
Did you send me the link? Because I was struggling there.
I know, you'll have to, well, next week we'll have to see you can up your game.
I strongly doubt it.
I'll just finish with a quick bit of heavy breathing and then we'll call it time.
Ah, mate, a bit like that phone call you did the other night.
And that's that.